Would you turn in your Bibles with me, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul has written this epistle to Timothy to tell him how to direct the conduct and how to lead the congregation there at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus was a productive and prodigious church. It had a great history, a great past. It had enormous potential for the future. But as always, there were problems. And so Paul writes to Timothy this letter of instruction. Now, Tim, he says, as the pastor of the church at Ephesus, here's some things you need to be sure are taken care of. As we read these six chapters in our day, in our terms, they seem a little anemic. But the closer you look at them, the more you realize that Paul was trying to help Timothy establish the basics, to stay with the basics. And those basics are very clear. We want this congregation, Paul was saying, to be a people of faith, a people of hope, a people of love. That's the badge to the world around. That's how the Christian faith stands out from all the other options of faiths that other people serve. A people of faith, a people of hope, a people of love. How then can these be demonstrated? Well, this morning we're going to talk about the key manifestation of our faith. When our new pastor comes, I want him to find us a people of faith. He'll not sense that so much in our conversations, and he'll not sense that so much in our plans as he will sense it in our prayers. Because you see, great churches can be built without ever praying because of the enormous resources of human talent and ingenuity that are available to that local church. Very impressive programs can be carried forward. Lots of activities can be generated, but these do not come to the heart of what it means to be the Christian faith. See, the essence of the church, the essence, the basic reason for the church is to be a place where God meets people, where God Himself speaks to people's hearts, where the people find their direction and strength in God, not in the pastor, not in the church, not in the leadership of the church, but where their essential value, the thing they treasure most, is the presence, the voice, the favor, the grace of God. And my friend, the place where that's cultivated, the place where that is manufactured is called prayer. Prayer. And that's why Paul says to Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 1, now Timothy, there at the church, first of all, at the top of the agenda, number one on the priority list, number one activity above everything else. First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those that are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Now watch. This is good. It pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, a man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. First of all, Timothy, the first order of the church is to be a praying people. That should be the response. That should be the natural response of the people of God in every perilous situation. Prayer. If you would take the book of Acts and just walk your way through it this week. And every time you find the word prayer, circle it. And here's why you do that. Because every time in the book of Acts, God's people prayed, something significant always happened. Always. No exceptions. Always happened. Prayer, if I could use a children's illustration this morning, is like the Aladdin's lamp. Remember, Aladdin was just a common dirt rat, you know, a thief, a scoundrel, a little unknown boy. But one day he happened to find this magic lantern. And the thing that was magic about the lantern was that if it was rubbed, poof, out came the mighty genie. And the genie was able to do spectacular things, things that little Aladdin didn't even have the ability to imagine, let alone the resources to accomplish. Every one of our children's stories have that theme in it. Somehow, somewhere, the little boy, the little girl, the hero or the heroine discovers some means of connecting with a higher power. And it's through that connection that that little boy's life or that little girl's life is transformed. And they bring blessing and good to others because of that transformation. Prayer is the Christian church's Aladdin's lamp. And the problem is that we would do anything, almost anything, before praying. I get lots of interesting emails. Some weeks ago, I was reading an email someone sent me. I never know if they're imaginary, made up, or whether they're actually true. This man was telling about his secret. He'd become enormously prosperous and wealthy as a businessman. And he was telling this story of how this happened to him. And it all started out when he was a little kid and his dad had run away and his mom was not a very nice lady and he was left all alone. And he happened down in a certain area of the town and he was hungry and he just had a penny and somebody sold him two apples for a penny. And so he ate the one apple and then he polished the other apple very carefully and went up the block a couple of streets and was able to sell that polished apple for 3 cents. So he took those 3 cents back, and of course he bought three more apples. And he would polish and polish and polish, and every day he'd go from one apple to three apples and then five apples, and then he had enough change on the side that he was able to buy a little wagon, and so he could put the apples in the wagon and push the wagon up to where all the business people were. He told about how his business prospered so much that he was soon able to buy a whole bushel of apples. And how he was able to get some new polishing rags. And how he was able to sell those apples for a nickel apiece instead of just 2 cents apiece. He went on and on and on. And he said, after 16 to 18 months, my business had grown and grown and grown to where I actually had a bicycle, he said, a bicycle with a cart behind it. And I could use that cart to take two bushels of apples up. And then he said, at the end of my 16 month, I had a rich uncle die and left me $100 million. Probably didn't get that story altogether right, but you get the drift. Now listen, some of us as Christians are content to polish one apple and sell it for a nickel. And then one day you discover that a very rich uncle died. And you inherit his money. All of his resources suddenly become available to you. How does that transform your business? Well, it does amazing things for your business. What you discover in the book of Acts is that the early church was dynamic not because they were energetic. They were dynamic because they knew that they were connected in high places. They had this marvelous promise from God that if they would wait upon Him, God Himself would come and live in their lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what did they do? They met and they prayed. And they prayed. And they prayed. And the day of Pentecost came and kalam, the Spirit of God came upon them, and suddenly there weren't 120. Now there are 3,000 people. Peter and John are going up to the temple for what? The hour of prayer. They see a man who's lame. They introduce him to the person, Jesus Christ. And by the power of Jesus Christ, that lame man is healed. And that leads to a public testimony. And that leads to arrest. And we just go on. That arrest then leads to persecution. So what happens when the leaders of the city say, "You shut up, or we're going to do to you what we did to Jesus"? What do? Well, you go home and you call in all your political friends. That's what you do. You begin to write protest ballots. That's what you do. You begin to organize a counter-revolutionary political action in order to throw those guys off office and get more friendly guys. No, that's not what they did. What'd they do? They prayed. They went home and prayed. And what happened? Place was shaken. Their number multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. They were a feared people. You can read all of this in the book of Acts. Enormous things happen when the people of faith put their faith into prayer. Dr. Billy Graham was asked some years back about his ministry and what he would do differently. His comments boiled down to two things. "I'm surprised at how fast the time has gone," he said. "And secondly, if I could do it over, I'd spend more time in prayer." Why? Why would Dr. Billy Graham say that? Because Dr. Billy Graham knows, as an older, experienced man, that when he's on his knees, he's exercising God's resources instead of his own. He knows that when he's praying, he's rubbing Aladdin's special lantern. He knows that he's engaging the forces unseen that control the universe, and he's talking personally to the God who has a vital interest in what's going on in our world. Did you see how Paul connected that? Look at that again there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at the direct connection. Look, "I want you to urge, or I urge that first of all, petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for everyone. For kings." Now, there's an interesting political platform. Praying for kings and all those that are in authority. Why would you do that? Well, because the Scripture tells us that while you and I can't, God can change the hearts of kings. And while you and I can't, God can change the circumstances and conditions of a whole nation. While you and I can't, God can intervene in the most secret, highest places of power and intrigue and compromise in the world. God has immediate access to all of those who play those pawns. And He has access to them in the most personal and secret needs of their hearts and lives. Now, what Paul's saying is that when you're praying as a people of faith and you're praying for the kings and those who are in authority, God hears those prayers and God answers those prayers. So let's do it right now. Bow your head, bow your heart, take a moment and pray for those who are in authority. That may be the president, maybe the Supreme Court, maybe our governor, take a moment and pray right now for God to do His will in the personal private affairs of the kings of our world. For those in authority, remind God that you know that they're really not the ones in charge. Oh, they have a degree of authority over us, but God has all authority over them. Thank the Lord for them. Pray for their protection. Ask God to speak to their hearts. Ask God to confront them about His will in the issues of governance. And Father, we do this as a people of faith, a people who can learn that what we're doing right now is more powerful than just listening to preaching, even preaching from your word. That what we're doing right now is more powerful even than casting a ballot. That what we're doing right now is more important than complaining about issues of public policy. That what we're doing right now, praying to you, in faith believing, will change our world. And we ask that you would work in the hearts and lives of these who lead us, that you would make them aware that they must answer to you, not to us, to you. And that you will impress that upon them with such diligence that their future actions will reflect that they have had encounters with you. And Lord, when they refuse to do that, we ask that you would graciously remove them from office. You put them there. You can remove them. So we look beyond the king to you, the King of Kings. And thank you that as people of faith, kneeling in prayer, we can change the highest structures of authority in our world. And that this is your call upon us. Thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Paul says that we're to pray for everyone. You see that? He said, I want you to be praying for everyone. That's what he says there in verse 1. And look what he says on down here in verse 3. He says, this is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, we're not here in this world. Listen, the church is not here in this world with an unclear agenda. We have one magnificent, singular responsibility to the world around us. What is that? We need to show them that there is one God, one mediator between Christ Jesus. That mediator has made a sacrifice sufficient for all of our sins, and that God wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we're here for. Let me say that again. That's what we're here for. We're not here to feel good. We're not here on assignment to be successful, build huge companies, own great empires, gain great applause. That's not the work of the church. Jesus didn't come into the world himself for that end. And he doesn't leave us here as his body for that. He has us here for one singular purpose. And listen, that purpose can only be accomplished through prayer. 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 We have come to depend a great deal upon techniques and programs. And sometimes we even play a little sleight of hand and think, boy, if I could just get Johnny and Susie into such and such a position, then God's going to overwhelm them and they're going to have to be saved. No, they're not going to have to be saved. We think, boy, if we could just get those children in a Christian day school where they're taught by Christian teachers and surrounded by a Christian atmosphere, that's going to transform their lives. No, it's not going to transform their lives. There's only one person in the universe who can change the human heart. His name is Jesus. And until the human heart is changed, until the human heart knows the truth and accepts the Savior so that he is saved from the lie, then that human is lost. And what's the heart and soul? What's the mechanism? What's the key to that? What's the one all-important thing God calls us to do? Pray. And as we pray, God releases his power. He does his thing. He accomplishes his purpose. He does his work. He moves in ways that you and I will never, 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 never understand. Ways that you and I do not have accessible to us. Listen to this story. This came to my desk just this week. Dear Pastor Jim, since my divorce, I live by myself and have no children. God has always been a driving force in my life. However, the past 4 months have been a very trying time for me. I was one of the lucky ones without electricity in early December for over 5 days. Then, there was an injury to my back. Then, I had the flu. That put me in the emergency room with an inner ear problem. Then came the shingles, followed up by another trip to the emergency room for more inner ear problems. Has this guy got problems? There were more problems unrelated to health, but nonetheless depressing. I was beginning to wonder if God had forgotten me. Now listen, my prayers seemed to go unheard, although I knew he was hearing them. I was in need of a miracle. He's praying. While out shopping, I just happened to stop into a flea market. God led me to a table that had several videotapes on it. The first tape I picked up was titled, Grace Brethren Church Presents A Christmas Just For You. Yeah, I knew it was almost April and Christmas was months away, but I had heard of those programs and the tape was only a buck. So I said to myself, why not? God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. I bought the tape and brought it home. Listen. That evening, I was having a pity party with only one in attendance. I decided to watch the tape rather than some reality TV trash. It is said that when you get to the point, God's all you have, then you'll know he's all you need. Well, my friend, he was all I needed. The tape not only blessed my heart, but restored my faith and trust in him. Sometimes God does indeed work in mysterious ways. God bless you all, a brother in Christ. That's prayer. That's prayer. I didn't get to preach to him. I didn't get to give my personal testimony to him. I don't have his name, so I don't know if any of you know him. He may even be with us this morning. If you are, God bless you, friend. Thank you for the letter. This may even be a manufactured letter. I have no way of knowing those things. I'm simply telling you this morning that faith expressed in prayer works these kinds of miracles. And they happen every time you pray. So what is a people of faith in the New Testament? They are a people who pray. And in the process of prayer, God gives them direction and God gives them dynamic. A dynamic that's not theirs. A dynamic that flows from the heart of God. Behind the petitions and prayers and supplications, Paul says, behind this priority of giving in prayer is the heart of God. God is not wanting that any should perish. God wants all to come to the knowledge of truth and to be saved. God wants us to have lives that are tranquil. God wants us to have lives that make sense. God wants our kings and those in authority to know the truth and to govern according to truth. God wants all of those things. And yet he, for some reason in his providence, has decided he won't do those things until we ask. So tell me this morning, what's the deepest burden on your heart right now? What's the problem that's just driving you crazy? What's the habit you can't throw off? What's the need that if you could walk down this aisle and shake hands with Jesus Christ in the flesh, and you had 2 minutes to sit on his lap, and Jesus said, "Give me all your problems, I'll take care of them," what would you ask him to do? What would you ask him to do? Ask him. Go ahead, right now. Just bow your head, bow your heart. And right now, ask Jesus Christ for that most pressing need. Something that you really need. While you're talking to him, talk to someone you know who has a need. They've shared that with you. Take that need. Take that person's need to the Lord. Just lift that person up in your heart, in your hands of faith, and just lift that person and their need up to the Lord. Father, here's my sister who is sick. Heal her, strengthen her, give her peace. Father, here's a friend that's having tremendous stress in his home. Children seem to be out of control. Please intervene in that family, Lord Jesus. Lord, here's my neighbor boy. I'm not sure he has come to place his faith and trust in you yet. He's bombarded on all sides by all kinds of ideas, and he doesn't have the best role models. Oh, Lord, I lift up Tommy to you right now. Here, I lift him up to you. Lord, please do something for Tommy. Oh, Father in heaven, may we be a faithful people, a people full of faith, a people who through mature faith and through a faith anchored and rooted in your word really believe that you are God and that you really care, that you are concerned about our rulers and the problems of state, that you are concerned about our lives and the ebb and flow of our lives, that you are concerned about everyone. You are not willing that any should perish. You want all men to come to the truth. And our part in that is to pray. Lord, hear our prayers. Call us to prayer. Make us a praying people. Remind us that those who advance on their knees never experience retreat. Give us a handle on our egos, our pride. Give us a new sense of what's important about our time and how we spend it. Give us a hunger, Lord God, to come into your presence, to know you, to see your face, to experience your love, your assurance, your power, your grace in our lives. To be filled with the Spirit of God as we move out among those all around us who are needy and bewildered. Lord, show us your love. call us to prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. I hope you will cultivate the habit of making prayer a priority. When problems come, pray. When a problem comes over the telephone, before you hang up the phone, simply say, "Let me pray with you about this," and pray before you put the phone down. When you meet someone in a dire circumstance, let's pray about that. Before you pray in the restaurant over your food, ask the waiter or waitress, "Is there something in your life that we might talk to God about on your behalf as we pray?" Pray. It's the functional side of your faith. As a kid growing up, I heard this song sung so many times it became part of my own personal repertoire. It's archaic and old-fashioned, but these words have been resonating in my mind, and let me share them with you. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ your Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer can change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. To pray. The root litmus test of my faith is the strength, faithfulness, and intensity of my prayer. And through prayer, my faith touches the face of God and accesses to those for whom I pray His blessing, His grace, His love.